Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast. Another good episode coming at you today. In anticipation of Father's Day, I really wanted to kind of talk about male role models, positive male role models. And this is going to be a kind of a controversial topic. Of course, I think that everything that I talk about has been sort of controversial. Walk that fine line, but I think that some things need to be said. And in order to get to where we want to go to, we got to discuss some things that and bring some things to the forefront of our attention and really not be afraid to confront some things and to address some things. So let's get into it. Let's talk about today, positive male role models, what it means, what it does not mean, who can be a positive male role model, who is not a positive male role model, who is, who should we be looking to, and everything like that. So let's get into it. So let's talk about today something that's very controversial, and that's positive male role models. Now, if we're going to clean up our community, if we're going to fix our community, we, as a certain member of the public and society, if we're going to fix our communities, and we have to stop, number one, looking for and seeking and thinking and asking other people to come into our communities and fix our problems and our situations. We have to be willing to take whatever methods and whatever means it is, take the bull by the horns, if you will, and be willing to fix those particular problems that are in the community. We have to understand that we didn't cause these problems, yes, but we have to take the bull by the horns and develop concrete methods to fix the problem, to address the problem, and to fix the problem ultimately. Begging other people, asking other people, expecting other people has not worked historically. So we can't continue to do the same thing over and over again and then expect some type of different type of outcome. That is the definition of stupid. It is the definition of dumb. It gets us nowhere. So let's look at what we can do in order to fix these things. What made me decide to do this topic? Well, first of all, I thought about something to do for Father's Day. Mother's Day just passed not too long ago. Everybody loves their mothers. Everybody always has respect for their mothers. But somehow, some way, even still in 2019, fathers, male role models, do not get the same amount of attention and accolades. Now, they should. Now, there is more coming about it. I think that we'll see a lot more articles, a lot more YouTubes, a lot more podcasts. We see just a lot more of people trying to get men to become these role models, get fathers to be in the homes and all this kind of stuff. And I think that that's great, that's fine, and it's wonderful. That was one of the reasons why I decided to do this particular episode. Another reason was I was going through the other day, you know, when you open up your browser and you're just about to start surfing on the internet, my own particular browser, I open up Google. That's my home page, or when I just open a browser, you have these little tiles that pop up, you know, little advertisements to read this article, read that article. Tile popped up from Sunny Skies, SunnySkyz.com. SunnySkyz.com popped up. Now, this is an old article from March of 2016. It was titled, South Carolina Teachers Start the Gentleman's Club to Teach Boys with No Fathers Life Lessons. Got a picture of the teachers and a bunch of students. Every single one of them are black. Teachers are black. I take that back. There's a number of black students and one white student. And so the purpose of this particular club is to get these young men who have no fathers, they're targeting young men, these students with no fathers, targeting them, and they're going to get together and teach them how to talk. They're going to teach them how to dress for job interviews, to shake hands, look people in the eye, all the types of things that men and positive male role models should be teaching their children and mentees, if you will, all the things that mentors should be teaching their mentees. Very good article. I really suggest and highly recommend people read it. And I would really hope that if a program like this does not exist in your community, then if you're a positive male role model, then maybe you could and should start one. I think that that's extremely, I think what these men have done. Now, this is 3 years ago, 2016, when this article was written. So who knows how long it's going on. I don't even know if it's still going on, but I hope so. And I hope that they have touched and affected a lot of young men's lives and teaching them the importance of how to dress for job interviews, how to dress on the job. This idea is lost. Very recently, about professionalism in the workplace, we all, maybe some of us have heard about the principal, down in Texas, who instituted a dress code for the parents who are coming into her schools. So a parent is just coming in to see about a child or maybe picking up a child up or has a parent-teacher conference or something along those lines during school hours. According to the articles that I read, the parents were coming in with halter tops on, shower caps on, flip-flops. You know, this, the principal's mindset is that this is a professional environment where learning is supposed to be going on. Everyone in here is supposed to be a role model. The teachers are supposed to be a role model. And you have parents showing up like they just crawled out of bed, or they're ready to go to shower, or they're ready to go straight to the club. Some parents were dressed with fishnets on and fishnet shirts on so you could see straight through and see their breasts. This is all, of course, according to principal. Principal then instituted a dress code for parents who were coming in to see about their children during school hours. A lot of backlash was created from the community, but I stand behind her, and she is standing behind her own decisions. I stand behind it. I think these young teachers have done in South Carolina as far as teaching and professionalism is great. I think that all schools all across America should have a dress code. Generally, unless you work for yourself or are retired or independently wealthy, you're going to be working for someone else. And if you're going to be working for someone else, then you have to abide by their particular dress codes. And when there's a lax dress codes, I think that this causes an issue and a problem. And I'm talking about role models. I don't want to get off into a tributary here, but I think that role models are important. And people have to set the standard. We don't like it when we're young. We don't like being told what to do. But if we're going to live in a civil society amongst other people and have expectations of other people, then I think that one of the first things we need to learn is how to present ourselves. And far too many times, we have young men in our own communities who don't know how to present themselves. When you have a mouthful of gold, diamonds, your hair is uncombed, unkept, in some unprofessional style, whatever that may be, when your pants are sagging and you don't know when to wear sneakers or shoes, or don't believe in button-up shirts, and you present a certain image of yourself. And this is real, and this is not selling out. This is real. We look at two of my biggest heroes, and I think that everyone's biggest heroes should be, particularly in the Black community, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. These men didn't sag their pants, they didn't have gold in their mouth, they had nice, clean-cut haircuts. And I think that this type of mindset and mentality, and listen, I don't have any problem with the people braiding their hair or anything like that. It looks like I am getting off into a tributary. I don't have any problem with any type of eccentric type of hairstyle, but I think it'll be clean and kept. That's number one, clean and kept, number one. And number two, I think that the second most important thing is that it's presentable for whatever type of job you're going to have. Now, you have to abide by the rules and regulations of your job, and so you have to be willing to do what they say and what your bosses want. And so I think that the first place that we learn that type of mentality is in the school system. And if the school system allows children to come in wearing whatever they want, then I think that that's a destructive habit that is going to translate later on into life. And the same thing goes for the teachers. The teachers ought to be dressed respectable and remember that they are in a learning environment as well. And I can remember some teachers when I was taking my kids to school. I'm like, my God, what is this teacher wearing or not wearing? You know, where's the rest of that skirt? Where's the rest of that dress? This presents a problem. So I don't want to get off too much into tributary with all that kind of stuff. But I think the positive role models, I'm talking about mostly about males, but obviously I've gone into some females issues and situations as well. So I think that we all need to kind of watch it. As I'm studying about this topic and really kind of giving a lot of thought behind this thing, this topic that I'm talking about today, I'm reminded of another article that I had read in the journalscene.com. Real Men Read, Positive Male Role Models Helping in Local Schools. This was written last year, November 2018. It talks about 1 in 4 American children live in mother-only families. Of those children living with their mothers, 35% never see their father, and only 24% see their fathers at least once a month. These men in some particular communities have stepped in, taken time out to read. So I think that kind of thing is very, very important. So we see an example of teachers stepping in to do what they had to do. Another example from journalscene.com, real men are coming into the classrooms and reading to children. So let me talk about another article, another thought that I had, that I think that if we really start to think about it, it really makes genuine impact. At least this particular story did with me. Thestonewalls.com. There's an article written called In the Absence of Fathers, A Story of Elephants and Men. In this particular article, it really talks about something that I think is very profound, and it was very profound amongst the psychological community and even in the animal community communities. What happened is that down in Africa, they were trying to revive the population of elephants, you know, because human beings are cruel and they want nice cups and furniture and all this kind of crazy stuff. So they kill rhinos and they kill elephants for their appendages, for their tusks, and things like that. you know, it is what it is. I don't want to go off into that. I deplore that. I abhor that with every fiber of my being, but whatever. But anyway, this particular article talked about how elephants were disappearing. In an effort to save the elephants, they set up a national park. So the national park is set up. Everything is going well. No poachers are allowed in, and the population starts to thrive and to revive. So they're going to move some of the elephants to another portion of the country, another park, so they can intermingle and continue breeding and continue being revived. They had the helicopters ready. They were going to put a harness around the elephants, lift them up, and then bring them one by one or however many at a time into another park. The harnesses were not strong enough to be able to support the big bull elephants, which weighed much more than the female elephants and young juvenile elephant, male or female. So what they did was they brought some of the females into the other park, brought some of the juveniles into the other park, male and female juveniles into the other park, and left the big bulls, some of the big bulls, obviously left some cows in the original park. So over time, they noticed something peculiar start to happen. The younger bulls, younger males that they were bringing into this new park began to go rogue and act crazy. So, well, how did this happen? What's going on here? So what they noticed was there was a bunch of dead rhinoceroses. Now, rhinos are also going extinct, so they put them in the same kind of park. Generally, in normal situations, these two particular animals will get along. However, as these immature, the bulls begin to mature, they notice that the rhinos are dying, and they don't understand why. So they, when they do some research, they realize that it's the immature males who are now coming of age and killing these rhinos for no other reason, right? They're forming gangs and groups and just being rogues and acting crazy. In order to fix this, they had to really bring about some thought process. And they thought about what was going on in the original park, and they noticed that these situations weren't going on when the young bulls were around the older bulls. So what they did was, and they hypothesized and thought about it, they built the bigger harnesses to get these elephants, to be able to transport these elephants from one park to the new park, these elephants being the older bull males. So they get the bull males, they end up transporting them into the newer park, and lo and behold, when the introduction of the older male bulls, an understanding develops between the younger bulls, and now they get their act together, right? So essentially what happens is these older bull male elephants are able to school, put in check, however you want to word it, and tell these young bull males to knock it off. You're not being elephant-like, as the article puts it. And they teach them how to be elephants, how to get along with other creatures, and all that kind of stuff. This is an absolute translation into what we can see into many of the inner cities that are going on, and we can talk about how mass incarceration has destroyed effectively many of the inner cities. We can talk about all that kind of stuff. My argument, and the argument that is made here, is that we need to introduce positive role models, positive, strong male figures, and I'm going to keep repeating that, positive, strong male figures into these communities to root out some of this nonsense that's going on. Nonsense of violence on violence, killing one another, nonsense of boys who don't know if they're boys, men who don't know if they're men, they don't know what's going on. So I think that this is extremely important. We start introducing some bulls, some male, strong male bulls back into our communities who can take the charge as these teachers did, as these men did in that other article that I talked about the men reading. So I think that this is very important. So let me just give a little background about my story. I am a retired police captain, as everyone should know by now. Was raised by a mother, single mother. She did not get married until I was about 14. So the first 14 years of my life, it was just me and my mom and my brother. My brother's 18 months older than I am. Where did I get any type of positive male interactions from? Where did I get any of these positive male interactions from? Well, I got them from my uncle. I had two uncles that lived fairly close. One who lived in another town from me, nice affluent town. Another one was married to my aunt. My aunt has since passed, but my uncle is still alive. He's living down in South Carolina now, retired down in South Carolina now in his 90s. So I think that this is extremely important to have the type of male role models in your life. Without that, I think that things can go awry. So I saw that these male role models, and I would go to their houses occasionally. I was able to play in their yards. Now, the place that I lived, three-family house, we lived on the third floor. My grandfather lived on the second floor. I had a cousin, older male cousin, who lived on the first floor. The house was bought by my great-great-grandfather back in about the 1910s or 19-teens or so. What happened was he saved enough money through his job to buy a home, and he bought a home that was conducive to and able to support his family, give his family a place of support. So that's a positive male role model, right? Back in that particular time, black male saving enough money to be able to buy a home. He buys that home and then is able to put his family inside the home, which would benefit his family, his immediate family at the time, his children, and then grandchildren. And then eventually great-grandchildren, where I end up living. So that's the first example of a positive male role model. I had other male role models, as I said. Now, this particular area where I lived at in Waterbury, Connecticut, began to go down, right? We see the influence and we see the effects of non-positive or negative role models in the neighborhood. In the 1980s, the crack epidemic hits hard. Places where I used to play, we can't play in them anymore because we run through bushes and trees and all that kind of stuff. Next thing you know, we see crack fiends sitting there doing their wares and all that kind of stuff. So our community was taken down slowly by the drug epidemic and what I would say one of the influences of negative male role models or no male role models at all. So this is a problem that we see. Also, I had positive male role models from my church. My church had a bunch of deacons. Of course, the pastor and other ministers were all black men working, had their own homes. Some of them had lived, even though I went to church in Waterbury, considered an inner city. A lot of these black men, and these are the 70s and 80s, and I'm talking about well into the 90s, were living in out of towns, in the outskirts of town and suburbs. So these were black men who were very positive, had families, going to church, working, and were able to provide for themselves and get out of the inner cities and everything like that. So that is a very good example of more positive male role models. Fortunately, and let me just say this, that I didn't see and I never heard even to this day that there was any kind of illicit sexual activity going on with the young boys. All right, so we talk about positive male role models, right? So there was no touching of young male boys going on at all that I saw. And so this is extremely, extremely important. I am going to put that out there. So I get positive male role models. Even though I didn't have a father, I had positive male role models from my church and from my uncles. Let me also tell a story about one time I was in summer camp. I had to be like 14 or 15 or something, somewhere along those lines. Never forget being at a summer camp, this guy named Jim. Now, Jim was head of this particular summer camp. Jim, the first day of the summer camp, Jim lays down the law and tells us his expectations and the rules and everything like that. And he gives us a word. He says it was N-A. N-A stood for, of course, not acceptable. First time I had ever heard not acceptable. He tells us, you know, he expected us to be young men, young women. This was not just a camp for men, but it was a camp for everyone. After hearing him lay down the law and everything like that, I can remember I was sick and I could not make it to camp that day. So I tell my brother to tell Jim that I'm sick, particular camp counselor, I'm sick and I won't be able to make it today. So my brother goes off to camp. A few hours later, Jim calls. I answer the phone. I say hello. You know, tell him, listen, I thought I told my brother that I was sick and I couldn't make it today. Jim says, that's N.A. It's not acceptable. You're a young man. And I expect you to make a phone call and you tell me that. Now, I was really touched by this. Jim was a white guy. Here I am, a young black kid. But he's telling me and teaching me to be a man and telling me what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And I have not seen Jim ever since, 40s now, but if I ever, would ever see him and if I recognize him today, I would like to thank him for that because it was very touching that this guy would take interest in not just me, but in the whole camp and try to teach us to be men and to be women, to look people in the eye and to do all the kind of stuff. So if I can remember a story like that from Jim in my days at summer camp, then I'm sure that those young men who are being read to, those young men who are part of that young gentleman's club in South Carolina and any other type of similar club will remember those times to come. Fast forward, right, in my own personal life, right, I become a police officer and I am going through this. And while I was a police officer, I have children. As my children grow up, I want to keep them positive, so I keep them in sports. So I had them join the Police Activity League. Through the Police Activity League, I became a coach myself. I coached both boys and girls, softball, baseball, basketball, flag football, and I also refereed a bunch of sports. So I was very active within the community. I was at the PAL 3-4 days a week, not just for my own kids. Of course, I'm coaching them. Even when my own kids didn't play, I still coached. So it was very important to me to show young kids, particularly young black kids, the influences and effects of being a positive male role model. And that's why I did it. I was always thought that it was very important that people would be more receptive to seeing one in their own coaching. And I thought it was very important to see that young black men, young black kids, young Puerto Rican kids, young white kids saw a positive male role model, particularly one black ethnicity. Why? Because there's so much negativity that seems to be out there. So therefore, I really wanted to present that image. So I think that it's very important. And if I can remember a story about when I was 15, then I hope that my coaching, my interactions with them will have some type of positive link on them as they turn into their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And matter of fact, I can still say that my daughter is friends with some people. Now she's in her 20s now, and they stopped playing their particular sports in about 17, 18. And she's still friends with a couple of girls that she played softball with. They still stay in contact, spend the night at each other's houses and things like that. And so I see one of the young girls today, and she still talks to me, and we still talk, and I ask how she's doing, how's school going, making sure she's staying on the right track with college and everything like that. This idea of positive male role models is extremely important. Extremely important. So I want to talk a little bit about, get into some science about this and talk about this confusion that seems to be going on about men, toxic masculinity, and everything like that. So I came across an article from Psychology Today. This is article was written or posted back in 2012, and I think it's a very good article. It talks about the demise of guys. In this article, this PhD, Dr. Philip Zimbardo, talks about what's going on with male culture in period. Right? Not male, not black male, white male, Asian male, just male culture and period. I really suggest that guys really read this article. Psychology Today, The Demise of Guys. In record numbers, guys are flaming out. Men don't know how to be men anymore. We don't know how to interact with females. Let me just read a little bit of this. The irony is that society is not giving support, means, or places for these young men to even be motivated or interested into aspiring to these things. In fact, society, from politics to the media to the classroom to our very own families, is a major contributor to the demise because they are inhibiting guys' intellectual, creative, and social abilities right from the start. Goes on to name something I had never heard of called a Moodle, which is a combination between man and poodle. Talks about some Hollywood films who are either making fun of this or acknowledging that's going on. Films like Knocked Up, Failure to Launch, Jackass, the series, Hall Pass. These are all types of movies that he attributes to this type of moodleness or man-child that's going on. He says that many guys lack purposeful direction and basic social skills. They're living off of and even living with their parents well into the 20s and 30s. Expanding their childhood into an age once reserved for starting a family and making a career. These men don't know how to be men. These guys aren't interested in maintaining long-term romantic relationships, marriage, fatherhood, or being the head of their own family. Many have come to prefer the company of men over women, and they live to escape the so-called real world and readily slip into alternative worlds for stimulation. Those alternative worlds for stimulation that he gets into talking about is a world of video games, right? World of Warcraft or Fortnite, or you can just be your own person. Also, the addictive world of porn, where you don't have to interact with real women, don't have to meet their emotional needs. You can just open up your laptop or pop a tape in or however. Just cue up your phone, whatever you got to do in order to get it. Very good article. Last thing I want to read from this is he says, we believe that this demise can be traced to the rise of technology enhancement. From the earliest ages, guys are seduced into excessive and most isolated viewing and involvement with texting, tweeting, blogging, online chatting, emailing, and watching sports and TV on their laptop. Most of all, though, they're burying themselves in video games and getting on online pornography. There are also other factors contributing to the demise of guys. Widespread fatherlessness and changing family dynamics, media influences, environmentally generated physiological changes that decrease testosterone and increase estrogen, the problematic economy, and also the dramatic rise of gals. Really good article, go through it. But I really thought that last part about the environment and the things that we're eating, things that we're drinking, things that are in the air, things that are being absorbed through skin. I was reading one time about what decreases testosterone in men, and that waxy type of receipt paper you hold on to that or keep it in your pocket, keep that around for too long, there's been studies that show that that can decrease testosterone. So get rid of that, all that kind of stuff, right? So why is this stuff even around? It's crazy. All this type of stuff that's in our environment, that's being created, that we're eating, drinking, and even absorbing through our skin is causing this decrease in testosterone, an increase sometimes in estrogen. And so in many guys, as he says, the problematic economy and also the dramatic rise of gals. So many guys feel and are intimidated by this rise of girls. Listen, this is my own personal philosophy. Don't kill me. I never read this anywhere, but I think that a lot of times men are intimidated because of girls. Let me put it this way. Girls are rising. Gals are rising because of how they have been abused and subject of abuse by men throughout history. Men don't know how to be men anymore. I'm going to reveal something very shocking about myself. My wife and I have never watched Game of Thrones. Now that the season is over, I'm trying to see what all the hype is about. So we're actually starting to watch it. We've been binge watching it. We're in season 2 right now. And so my wife is talking about all the pervasive sex that's going on. But this is what was going on back in the days, and probably even still to today in some cultures and some places, because women have been devalued and demoralized and all that kind of stuff. And they have no power. So they are subject to be the sexual playthings of some male. I don't want to go off into another tangent about that. We can have a long discussion about that. But I think that this article from Dr. Zimbardo is very telling. I would be remiss to continue going on with this if I didn't talk about a term that I don't like is toxic masculinity, right? I'm talking about positive male role models. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about what toxic masculinity is, because I do think there is such things going too far. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that there's not such a thing as going too far in your maleness, your masculinity. I don't think that masculinity or testosterone are inherently evil. And if you adhere to that, if you try to be a strong man, or that if you try to be a loving father, or if you try to be a positive male role model to other people, then that is inherent of negativity. So this is from the New York Times, not a medical article. The article was written January 22nd, 2019 by Maya Salam. What is toxic masculinity? They have tried to define it according to this article. So from the New York Times. So what does toxic masculinity or traditional masculinity ideology mean? Researchers have defined it in part as a set of behaviors and beliefs that include the following: suppressing emotions or masking distress, maintaining an appearance of hardness, violence as an indicator of power, think tough guy behavior. In other words, toxic masculinity is what can come of teaching boys that they can't express emotion openly, that they all have to be tough all the time, that anything other than that makes them feminine or weak. No, it doesn't mean that all men are inherently toxic. So I guess I couldn't get behind that particular definition. The suppressing emotions. Listen, all boys are taught from a young age, and I would teach my kid, don't cry, toughen up, be a man, harden up, man up, things like that. Maintaining an appearance of hardness. I don't think that you have to be hard all the time. Now, there is a balance, and I do think that some of this stuff can be certainly negative, right? And particularly the last part, violence is an indicator of power. If you have to be violent when you're at school, violent on your job, violent when you're dealing with your lady, violent when you're dealing with your friends, if you're always trying to one-up someone, then I think that that is a problem, and I think that that should be addressed. You guys can read that article and go on from there, right? It talks about a number of things, the boycott of the Gillette company over their ads that were released some time ago in attempts to get away from toxic masculinity. An article from blackyouthproject.com, April 25th, 2017, Black men, we need to acknowledge that we are the problem. Let's talk toxic masculinity. Some things I can agree with in this particular article. Once again, you guys can read it on your own. Blackyouthproject.com, Black men, we need to acknowledge that we are the problem. Let's talk toxic masculinity. I wrote a blog talking about the N-word. I wrote another blog talking about hip hop. You guys can check that on my website. I think that what this author is talking about, some things need to be addressed. He talks about how he was growing up, went from private school to public school. When he got to public school, he wasn't ready for the emergence of essentially sex hormones that were going on, right? The kids that he had gone to school with at one time were now bulking up. They were bigger. Some of them had tattoos. Some of the girls that he had gone to school with obviously were little girls before. Now they're full-blown women with all their parts in the right places and all that kind of stuff. So he's still going on with that. But what he really gets into the weeds of is how that men now are talking about how many bodies they have accumulated. Bodies being a euphemism for how many people you've had sex with. Boys can have a lot of bodies. Girls, if they have a lot of sex partners, then they are sluts, hoes, and thots, and et cetera, et cetera. So he talks about that. So I think that here, again, we need to really have some positive male role models. Not role models that go out there and just tell you to just do everything you can, hit everything you can, body everything you can. But I think that we need to have some balance with it. You need to have men who are going to say, listen, you have one girl, love her. There's nothing wrong with being emotionally open with her. Nothing wrong with loving her. Nothing wrong with showing someone that, right? If we remember that movie Training Day when Denzel Washington's character, Alonzo, I think his name was Lorenzo or Alonzo. I think it was Alonzo. Anyway, so whatever his character's name was, right? He was telling the rookie there, Nathan Hawke, is that his name? His character telling his rookie partner there that you bottle that love up inside you. You keep that stuff love up inside you. Because why? Because other people will try to exploit that as a weakness. And I think that was a very telling scene and show that how many, let's face it, law enforcement think. Many males think that you have to keep this stuff love up inside. You don't let them out. Even Biggie said one of his rhymes that, you know, problems with my wife, I don't discuss them. Point is here is that we need to have some type of outlet. Don't keep these emotions bottled up. So he goes on to talk about that we need to recognize that our misogyny and our lack of historical culture has been a problem. And we need to develop one. I will continue to talk about that. We need to develop some type of historical understanding. Develop some type of cultural rite of passage. Jewish people had the bar mitzvah. Spanish girls, Latin girls, they had the quinceañera when they turned 15. I can remember some doctor or some academic in New York City tried to develop something like that. Read in the Amsterdam News.com. This is fairly recent too. Back in January 2019, there's an article that says Black boys need rites of passage programs in 2019 across the country. I wholeheartedly agree with this. We need to develop this. This is something that we all need. Just a little bit from this particular article or blog post or whatever this article is from the AmsterdamNews.com. The fundamental problem for Black boys raised in America is that 70% of families are run by a single parent, a woman. African Americans make up approximately 35% of all children raised in the bottom 1% of income level and distribution. From the very beginning of life, Black males start with a financial disadvantage, and one out of every three end up in prison. The system is set up for Black males to fail, and it's extremely difficult to climb out of that bottom. It's not just not being Black, but being male that has been hyper-stereotyped in this negative way. Further on in the article, Black men can no longer wait for the system and the schools to educate Black boys. They must be engaged and involved from the very beginning. Dr. Argard's goal in the Orange County Public School is to recruit 1,000 mentors in 2019, and there are other organizations and fraternities that have after-school mentoring programs in Orlando and Central Florida. Of course, I talked about the reading programs that were going on in South Carolina and other places. This is important. Many people are seeing this and seeing the need for Black boys. Our schools are failing us. The school-to-prison pipeline. We understand that incarceration rates are out of control, and we have to take this back. We have to be the bulls to take this back. We have to do what we have to do. There is a problem which was identified by the doctor in psychology today about the lack of maleness, whatever's going on in the economy, whatever's going on with girls, but it's not the girls' fault. We can't blame them. We have to blame ourselves, particularly as African-American males. So I think that this is really a deep, deep problem. Let me talk a little bit about what I'm doing today. Obviously, I'm doing this podcast, which I'm trying to reach a lot of people. I talked about how I coached before, and I think that's a very good step. I may try to set up. I'm going to be looking into a number of things. I'm trying to set up some type of mentoring program. I currently teach chess in schools, so I'm reaching a lot of different people. And I don't think that this has to be strictly a Black and white thing. You know, I talked about a white mentor that I had at the summer camp. Problem that I want to address goes across racial lines, but I think that we have to take control of it. And as the Amsterdam News article talked about, this is a problem, and the problems that we see in the Black community, we have to deal with that. We can't expect other people to come in. When we expect other people to come in and save us, we get police brutality. When we expect other people to come in, we get gentrification. When we expect other people to come into our communities, we get taken advantage of by one system or another. We get our votes gerrymandered. We have to understand that we have to fix the problems within our own communities. We need the bulls to come back. And I think that the biggest target that we have to hit are those 12 and under. Before they have been corrupted by gangs, maybe even 10 and under. Before they have been corrupted by gangs, because it's difficult to get these people back. Now, I give a lot of shout outs and praise to all those organizations who are trying to rehabilitate young men, right? 14, 15, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds. People keep on doing those things. I give them a lot of praise. But I think that one of the biggest things we have to do is get them before they hit that age. I went to school and got my master's degree in forensic psychology. As I'm doing my master's thesis and even throughout the studies, I looked at the juvenile recidivism rates and why they were so high and what we can do in order to cancel them out. One of the best things that I found out is that a child who is 16 years old and who has a job, right, just giving the child a job, keeps him out of trouble, keeps him out of the prison, school to prison pipeline, keeps him out of trouble with the police and all that kind of stuff. So just being a 16-year-old with a job can eradicate and can eliminate a lot of the problems that he would have later on in life. So I think that it's very important. Once again, we can't expect other people to give us jobs. We had to regentrify our own communities, build up our own communities, build our own businesses and give our own people jobs, stop begging other people for jobs and all this kind of crazy nonsense. So that's one of the biggest things. You have to get these kids where they're young, while they're impressionable, give them the positive male role models that they need, good, strong men who are willing to take up reins and mantles and school these young men and teach them how to be men, how to get off the video games, how to pull their pants up, how to read, how to treat women, how to love and respect a woman, how to get married and stay with one woman, not have children all over the place. We need this kind of thing. As controversial as I know that Bill Cosby's name is, everyone ought to read and understand his lecture called The Pound Cake Now. You guys are not familiar with that. Take a look at that. I really think that if people really ought to read that message, what he said. We need to listen to everyone who's talking powerful, develop good role models, look to good role models, those teachers, those camp counselors, those chess coaches, those sports coaches. Do what you can, be what you can, and everything like that. And to the men out there who have been absent fathers, now is not too late to go out there. If you're one of those fathers, as I read the statistic before concerning how often some men see their fathers. I mean, I would go through more of those statistics, but they're so diluted. They're so confusing. It depends on what study you look at and all kind of stuff like that. But we do know that 70% of young men grow up or born out of wedlock. Young black men are born out of wedlock. What that really translates into as far as how many actually see their children, how many are actively involved in their children, right? The numbers get hairy and fuzzy and all that kind of stuff. So I don't want to go down that road of looking into all that. But you guys can look into that in your own time. But I would say that just be active in your children's life. And this goes to everyone, black, white, whatever. Be active in your children's life. It means so much. Children who have fathers in their lives get in trouble less. They do academically better. They grow up healthier. They're less depressed. And even women, girls, young girls who have a father in their life actually develop slower, right? So if you don't want your 9 and 10-year-old developing breasts and all that kind of stuff, those chances increase when she has no father in the home. Researchers aren't exactly sure as to why that goes on, but it does go on. Maybe it's some type of psychological, physiological response looking for a father figure and some father, so she's attracting boys. Who knows what it is? But whatever's going on, if you just remain in your child's life, do what you can do. And if your child doesn't have one, be there for him. We also need to embrace the idea, and I'm just going to leave off with this, about what I was talking about the Amsterdam News, about this idea of being mentors. I want to piggyback that in developing programs and understanding that in order to fix our communities, we cannot be so isolated in our thinking. The old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, is extremely important. I went to my nephew's game. Now, here I am, trying to be a positive role model. My nephew has a basketball game. I'm going to go see him play, right? I want him to see that his uncles show up and are concerned about what's going on in his life. He's talking, the coach and his mother is talking or having a conversation. The child, they do what they do. He walks in between the child, and the mother during the conversation, the coach stops him and says, hey, listen, you know, you don't walk in between two adults while they're having a conversation, right? It's rude. I think it's very important now. The mother didn't flip out and say, oh, don't talk to my child. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, who do you think you are? No, there was none of that. It takes a village. Everyone, every male role model has to be positive, and we have to be receptive to that. We can't live on these islands. Now, I understand you can't subject your child to child abuse, to abusive people, and all this, that, and the other. But if somebody's trying to give your child wisdom, then stand by that wisdom. If somebody's trying to discipline your child, then you have to help discipline that child. When you take the authority away from a parent, or away from a coach, or away from a teacher, away from a principal, away from a police officer, then you erode that child's understanding and discipline for life. You teach this child that he has no consequences. He has no consequences. As I mentioned, and I know I'm old, I know I'm late to the party, but my wife and I are watching Game of Thrones, and we see the young child king, right? We're in season two. I don't even know the kid's name. The Lannister child who's now taken over the throne, and he's taken over because his mother has been babying this kid. And he was just telling this kid that he can do whatever, he can do no wrong, you're king. And now the king is just a monster. We saw the other kid from the other village or other town who was 10 years old or whatever he was and still sucking on his mother's teat. Just absolutely ridiculous, right? These are all exaggerations. This is all Hollywood. I get it. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we need strong male role models to put down a child who's smelling himself, right? As we talk about the elephants. And we need someone to tell that woman to get this boy off your hip. Let that boy walk. Let that boy be a boy. And without going down the toxic masculinity road. So there is a deep balance. We have to find that balance. We need men. We need men to protect our communities. We need men to uphold the standard. We need men to be men in order to show other men the way. We can't have women raising men. You can't have women raising men. You can't have it. For a while there, I was a single father. I got custody of my children when I got divorced. And before I got remarried, I was a young man trying to raise my daughter, and I could not do it. I couldn't do her hair. You know, I couldn't teach her, you know, how to use the bathroom correctly. I just couldn't do it. I had to have her godmothers come in certain situations. I had to pay people to do her hair and all that kind of stuff until I got remarried and everything like that. It's extremely, extremely important that men raise men and that women raise women. It's extremely important that we live along this philosophy and this mindset. We can't continue down this road. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I hope you guys got something out of it. Until next time, I will see you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Let me know how I'm doing. Write me back. Send me a text message, email, etc., etc. Let me know how I'm doing. HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com. HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter, Captain L. Hunter. I am on Instagram, Captain L. Hunter, Facebook, Lawrence Hunter, LMH Police Consulting and Training. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good day. Take care, and I'll see you soon.